Why don't we begin here? So there may be others that join us, but they can join us as we kind of roll through this. So welcome everybody. How are y'all doing? Doing good? Sarah?
Doing good, doing good.
Good.
Good. Good. Well, the name of this segment is Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. And the other part of that is on earth as it is in heaven. And the two foundational scriptures that we kind of stay close to all the time are Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, and 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. And Isaiah 55 is the word of the Lord never goes out and returns void. And that's essentially that verse. And then 2 Corinthians is instructs us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So we look at everything, kind of through that lens. And as I was pressing into this, I always ask the Holy Spirit, like, where he wants to go and what he wants to do. And so the theme of today is our over tinkering, trying to make things right. And I'm speaking of that in the financial realm. So let's begin by let me open in prayer, and then I'll start into the with this message here. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for what Jesus Christ, your Son, purchased on the cross for us. And that everything that we need and every provision has already been provided for. And Lord, open the eyes of our heart that we may get a better vision of that and understand that in our own lives. And we ask this now all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So consider this. One of the and what I'm going to talk to you about today largely comes from my own experience. A lot of dead ends, a lot of backing up, and a lot of redoing. So consider this thought. One of the things that might now be restraining our financial breakthrough from manifesting is our subconscious insistence upon walking the known path. So let me explain that. Sometimes we run into financial challenges and we kind of revert to our self-generated solutions that then become carefully mixed with a lot of hard work. And, we knuckle down and just work harder and press in a little more, trying to think that we can, change the result. Now, there are some grains of truth in working hard, especially being a good steward, and especially doing, what we have to do to generate income. But sometimes we experience quick dead ends along the way, and we get frustrated, and we kind of tell ourselves, well, if the Lord really cared for us, he would solve this financial problem. And we'd be fine. And he must, not love us the way he used to anymore. So that's wrong thinking. And it can really keep us from the exact things that we need at the moment. And that would be to hear from the Holy Spirit and have him direct our path. So one of the things that I was reminded to when I started to study this was there's a story in the Old Testament, Matthew 8, chapter 8, verses 33 through 34, where it's an example of financial pressure and what the people did. And so you guys know the story, and I won't read it, but I'll paraphrase it. This is when Jesus had just cast the demons out of the demoniac. and those demons went into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the hill into the water. Following that event, the herdsman immediately went into the city, told everybody what had happened, and the city folks come back, engage Jesus in conversation, and tell him to leave. So this is a perfect example of somebody's financial cart getting upset and then taking the matters in their own hands and thinking they can correct it. So what's interesting about that story is the herdsman, witnessed the event, but they went back and told the village people what a terrible thing
They took
that
it in.
was. What, pardon?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, it's Diana. She might need to mute her microphone. Diana.
Oh,
Yeah.
so what do I
I'm
should I
sorry.
choose?
Oh, that's okay.
So are you telling me something?
I just asked her to mute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She's muted.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the story, the townspeople come back and they ask Jesus to leave, because their financial world got upended. So oftentimes we kind of do the same thing, inadvertently something will happen to us financially. We'll get a little bit on the wrong side of things, and we'll take matters into our own hands. And when we do that, and we grab the steering wheel from Jesus, we can kind of go in the wrong direction. Now I'm explaining this from personal experience. So I would say, let's try this. Based on the word of God, hand everything over to the Lord, effectively making your financial challenges his, and then stubbornly refuse to take them back and take control. And, when we do that, we're kind of making the whole problem the Lord's problem. And then usually what happens is he shows up big time. And I can tell you personally that one of my biggest breakthroughs in life came when I absolutely had no plan B. And how many times have we been challenged and we ask the Lord to help? We think in our own mind that that help looks a certain way, it's going to show up at a certain time, and it's going to take on a certain flavor. And when that doesn't happen, we immediately jettison our trust in the Lord and we go to our plan B. And sometimes it's a waiting game. The Lord wants to see if we're fully invested in who he is. So last time we referenced a scripture in Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. And out of the Amplified, it reads, "Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is." Now, when you read that, that verse is progressive in nature, meaning you have to believe in, from there you trust in. Once you trust in, then you learn to rely on. And then from there, all your hope and confidence is in the Lord. So it's a discipline. And the verse in Jeremiah is telling us to do that. And when you do that, blessed is the man that does that. So now I'm speaking from experience, my own experience. I didn't always do that. And oftentimes I would reach in my own bag of logic, looking for the solution, looking for the avenue, looking for something that might work. And oftentimes I would reach in that bag and pull something out that might have worked in the past. Now, what I found in the bag didn't work because it wasn't what the Lord was having me then do at that moment in time. He is pleased when we trust him in every situation. We may have learned a lesson financially in our past and we may want to go back to the solution that applied to that problem in time. Maybe that's the answer, maybe it isn't, but we need to kind of like go back and start with the Holy Spirit, you know, like what is he telling us to do? So let's look at one verse that I think speaks to this, 2 Corinthians 10:2. And this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, and I'm going to read out of the Passion. So starting in the second verse, it reads, "Now I plead with you that when I come, don't force me to take a hard line with you, which I'm willing to do, by daring to confront those who mistakenly believe that we are living by the standards of the world, not by the Spirit's wisdom and power." Now, I find that a very startling and revealing statement. And Paul had to take the Corinthians to task for trusting in the world system and not trusting in, you know, in the Holy Spirit. When I was kind of pressing into this message with the Holy Spirit, this is what I heard from the Holy Spirit. I heard, you will need to be securely anchored, comma, in the forthcoming storm. And at the same time I got that verse, the Lord reminded me of a story about Paul when he was sailing from place to place and they were in a storm. And the verse I'm thinking of is found in Acts 27, verse 29, the Passion Translation again. "Fearing we would be dashed against the rocky coast, they dropped four anchors from the stern and waited for the morning to come." So when I
hang on. So Bina asked, I think that's Sarah.
What?
Sarah asked what the verse was.
Oh, it's Acts 27, verse 29, and it's in the Passion Translation.
Oh, I'm sorry, the verse before this one.
The one before this one was 2 Corinthians 10:2.
Thank you.
So when I heard you will need to be securely anchored, comma, in the forthcoming storm, then I also heard the term storm anchors, and then that led me to this verse. So what is a storm anchor? A storm anchor is something that was used in like old time sailing. I don't know if they still use them or not, but the worst thing that can happen to a sailboat, a wooden sailboat in a storm, is that the fierce force of the storm forces you into the rocky coast and your ship completely disintegrates. So you are better off out in the body of water, going with the storm, as it were, as opposed to being tossed against the rocks. So the same time I hear this, I hear storm anchors. And what really I hear the Holy Spirit saying is, we need to be anchored right now so deeply in the Word of God that when things start to upend, we already have our anchor placed. We are not going to be tossed and turned and, you know, go into a panic mode and start, you know, fretting and just acting like the world. So one of the scriptures that I really like is the entirety of Psalm 46, also in the Passion Translation. And I'm just going to read like three little verses out of it. But Psalm 46 is so good and so speaks to anchoring ourselves in the Lord that as an exercise for myself, I am just going to personally memorize Psalm 46. And I want to be able to just say it like over and over and over again without reading it. And I want to drive it deep, deep inside of me. A lot of people have done the same thing with Psalm 91. So that works also. But Let me just highlight these three verses out of Psalm 46. The first one is verse 1. God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble, more than enough and always available whenever I need you. Skipping down to verse 3, for the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. And then going to the verse number 10, the Lord is really kind of speaking to us, surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. So I am hugely on board with, you know, Psalm 46, and I want to really kind of drive that down deep inside of me so that both my heart and my head kind of agree with the same concept. And like when what I've learned is when I do things like that, you become more comfortable with persevering and believing how deeply our Heavenly Father loves us and only has good outcomes for us. And so when we become more persevering, then we have a propensity for staying on course, regardless of what comes our way. 1 Corinthians 10:13, also in the Passion Translation, kind of defines that a little bit. It reads, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being, but God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more, for along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. So what I've learned in this process is that when you go through these trials, you end up having a higher level of, and I'm going to use the term knowing as opposed to the term understanding. When you know something, you believe it in your heart. When you understand something, it's a concept in your brain. So what I'm saying is that when you go through these trials, you have a greater knowing of the goodness of the Lord. And, you know, when we are rescued from a situation that offered absolutely no earthly way out, that, you know, that seemed to present nothing but our certain destruction, we tend to never forget those moments, and our perspective changes for the rest of our life. God, our Father, knows this. And I believe that he kind of uses it to mature us. If we bring that down, that principle down to what we may understand more closely, if we're old enough to have kids or young enough to remember when we were kids, oftentimes our parents use this principle to teach us. And so they would allow certain circumstances to fall on us, knowing that we would learn from experience, and it would probably be indelibly inked inside of us where we would never forget it. And so, I mean, I remember my first auto accident after I got my driver's license. That was like pretty startling, and it had a big effect on me for a long time. You know, you can sit in a classroom and learn how to do things, or you can experience things in the lab. And lots of times, I think our bigger understanding comes from our lab experience and not so much from our classroom experience. So in the book of James, verse 2, James in the Passion Translation refers to all these difficulties and challenges as invaluable opportunities. And he goes on to say that, they produce all these attributes. So, and they do. And they do. So, financial challenges fall in that as well. Because God knows this, and he knows this best, it kind of reminds me of the old TV show. And many of you guys are too young to remember the show, but like I remember it. The name of the show was Father Knows Best. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, we're not too, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, it was kind of, this is what like TV was like good and like wholesome.
Yeah.
And this was like one of the shows. And so, I forgot who all the actors were, but the father who always knew best, every situation that this family ran into, they always doubled back and ran it by the father. And the father always had like the wisdom and solved all the problems. And it was like, oh my goodness, this is what we're supposed to do with our Heavenly Father. So it's funny how some of the old TV shows actually were good, but
yeah.
So, the verse, some verses that kind of go along with that. Well, let me just say that as we go through difficulties, especially financial, and as we allow the Father to teach us a lesson, and as we then benefit from the loving grace of the Father in our life, we become a light in this dark world. So the world, in all likelihood, is going to get darker in the days ahead, but we have been commissioned to walk as a light, not the light, but a light. And Psalm 37, verse 6, in the Amplified speaks to that. And he will make your uprightness and right standing with God go forth as the light, and your justice and right as the shining sun of the noonday. In Ephesians 2:7, it reads, throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. And then the last verse that speaks to this is in Ephesians 5:8. Once your life was full of sin's darkness, but now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with him. And that's in Ephesians 5:8 in the Passion Translation. So this whole financial thing, the financial challenge that we face are really, that's bigger than us. And the Lord wants to mature us to the point that we trust him and that we demonstrate how that works to the people around us. So if we then go to the verse that's found in 2 Corinthians 5:20, and I find this one pretty interesting. In light of what we're facing, and in light of what Paul is telling the Corinthians to do, he says it in kind of a unique way. So this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. So we are, and he's saying this of himself, an apostle. So we are Christ's ambassadors, making his appeal, as it were, through us. We are Christ's personal representatives. And then he goes on to say, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God. To take, to take hold of the divine favor that has already been purchased for you. We are to take hold of that. So in Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4, it underlines that point. Keep trusting in the Lord, do what is right in his eyes, fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure. Feasting on his faithfulness, make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide for you what you desire the most. And then in the last verse, if you go to Genesis 22:14, and this is also out of the Passion, And this is right after Abraham was going to be faithful and obedient and sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah. The angel stopped him and then provided for, you know, a ram in the bush. And so because of that experience, Abraham named the place Yahweh Appears. And when you go to the footnotes, it reads Yahweh sees to it, Yahweh provides. And if we get this concept deep in our heart, and I'm talking about mentally, we believe it, and in our heart, we know it, and we give no room for any suggested plan of the enemy, of any disaster that might come our way, we actually then, through faith, draw on the goodness of the Lord, and then we're almost surprised at what takes place, but we shouldn't be surprised because we meditated on that. And it's like when they were praying for Peter when he was in prison, and he knocks on the door. Now, they have been praying for Peter for like hours and days, and then he knocks on the door and he goes, "Hey, it's Peter." And they go, "Oh, no, it isn't." You know, so it's like, you know, blows me away. They've been meditating on this like forever. And then when it happens, they, you know, they're a little startled. But that's the way it is. Sometimes we're startled, you know, by the goodness of the Lord. And I can tell you in our own life, and me personally, I have been startled by the goodness of the Lord in the last couple of years so much that I kind of take the attitude, come what may, I'm just not going to choose to like worry about it anymore, because I feel like, you know, the Lord is holding me in his hands daily, lovingly, granting me grace and mercy, which I don't deserve, but he's giving it to me. And I try, you know, I try to acknowledge his goodness throughout the day, all day long. I'm finding that as I trust the Lord more, he speaks to me more. And I'm now I'm developing the ability to differentiate between his good ideas and my ideas. And his good ideas are really, really good. And I kind of wonder like where they come from. And I know. And I know when I kind of go off into left field and I start to, you know, over tinker and think through things myself, I know what my thinking looks like, and I know what the revelation of the Lord looks like, and they're not even close. And I now am learning the difference between the two. And so I learned to kind of flush my thinking and take a pause and pay attention to Holy Spirit, what he wants to show me or tell me. And I'm telling you, in the last few weeks, months, and years, he has shown me remarkable things that I would never come up with on my own, especially in business. So does that begin to make sense to you guys? I hope.
Yeah, that was really good.
One thing that I would encourage you guys to do on your own is, I don't know, a couple of days ago, Jen and I were just kind of listening to some worship music, and a Jason Upton song popped up. Jason Upton, and the name of the song is Never Alone. And you can Google it and play it and just focus on the words and the video. It is unbelievable. And I think it kind of would kind of underscore, you know, what I was hoping that the Holy Spirit would convey to you through me. So I think it's a kind of a good homework assignment, is just to kind of marinate in that song and let the goodness of the Lord like fall over you. And, you know, Jason Upton does, you know, defines the goodness of the Father and the Tender Leading of the Shepherd Jesus. And it's just, it's a great song. It's a great song. So, so with that, does anybody have any questions? No questions.
No comments.
No comments. Cigars, cigarettes, tobaccos.
Hey Al, would you be able to give us some examples of your life, how God has led you to this revelation, or you know, just to encourage us, maybe, if that's possible. If not, that's okay.
No. Well, so, you know, a lot of this comes out of giving up on myself and trusting the Lord and just trusting for him for results. And I mean, you know, the thing that happened this past week was because I just try really hard on my part to anchor myself in the Lord. And he has just been so graceful to me. I mean, 2 days ago, I'm on the phone with my boss. And at the end of the phone call, he told me they're bumping my base pay to levels just because of like the job I'm doing. And it was like that just totally came out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't looking for it. I didn't ask for it. And I'm doing now in the business world kind of like what I think I've been designed to do. So and that's only through the goodness of the Lord.
But I think she's asking, that's really good. But I think what she's asking is, if I'm understanding, is you giving the example of how you got to the place that you are now, like
how did I
I mean, if you look back 10 years,
yeah, so I'm a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks, okay, and I just quite frankly got sick of learning that way. And so I mean, I'm reminded of Holly's story when, you know, and Holly's told this story several times where she said, starting today, I know nothing and you know everything. And it's almost that kind of revelation where you totally give up on yourself and your ability to perform and do, and you depend on daily navigation from the Lord. And I mean, it takes a little time and a little persistence, but it happens. Does that begin to answer the question?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, anybody else? Janet, do you have a question?
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, if I look back at it, they might not be able to hear me.
Yeah, can you speak up?
Oh, hang on. Why did it turn the? Oh, hang on. Let me do the unmute.
Oh, you can just speak up.
Yeah. So what I was thinking was, because I've watched this go on. Maybe I should help.
Yeah, come on over on this side.
Okay. I'm not going to go in there.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, I've watched this happen. This, it's kind of like a transformation, you know, when the word says in Romans 12, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I look at like what we went through even, well, it was about 2009. It started when Jim had lost his job. You know, the reason we even moved out here was for that job, and he lost it. And a lot of the things he was saying at the time was he was kind of voicing, he was putting to work, you know, he was releasing all these words about the construction industry and how it'll never come back. And, you know, it was a hard time in the country. You know, we had just had that big, whatever, housing
recession.
And Obama had been just inaugurated, and there was just a lot. And so, you know, I watched him say these words over and over. And lo and behold, the words built what
you're building a foundation with your words. Yeah.
So he was building this foundation, and it literally took 2 years of unemployment of Jim, like, really working hard to get another job as he was speaking these things, and nothing would come to pass. Nothing would come. And he ended up working at Home Depot and came home and talked about Home Depot. And I just, out of my mouth came, well, what did I say? something like
she immediately, Janet called me a pyre, and it was almost like a slap in the face.
Wasn't a slap in the face. It was a,
well, I'm talking about a wake-up call.
It was the cold water.
Yeah. It was the fly swatter between the eyes. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it was because I was saying to him, you know, I know that God put 30 years of construction in you. You went through all these years of learning how to construction, but yet you're cursing the industry. And maybe if you didn't curse the industry, you would be in the industry, you know, you would be where God was supposed to be. Well, that led Jim into this repentance. And
well, so about, yeah, when, understand, when Janet said that, I think the Holy Spirit, like, totally opened up my eyes, my ears, and my heart. And because that word was immediately received, and I had understood the gravity of my error. And so, I mean, so that story concludes. Janet and I, first of all, I agreed. I agreed that the words that I spoke, I was basically cursing myself. And so we agreed that I needed to, like, formally repent. And so that on Sunday, we went up to, you know, a small little, like, mountain on the Front Range. And, you know, I, like, formally repented to the Lord that of the words that I had spoken, and that I had cursed myself, and I had gotten in his way of him wanting to bless me. And I asked for his forgiveness. And then recited some positive.
Yeah, we confessed some provision scriptures.
Yeah.
And really, we're in a place of repentance.
Right.
And then the next day, he got two job offers. And so we say that to say that was a life-changing time, actually, for both of us, but it was life-changing in the fact that, what am I trying to say? That, well, Jim never looked at things the same way. And, you know, as we prayed through, there was a lot of transition for the next, you know, 10 years from that, where, you know, even the next year was one job he took. It was very challenging, and he had to literally surrender his ability to do anything on his own to the Lord, and said, if you don't do it, it won't be done. And he was confessing the verse in Psalm 55:22, and basically called the Lord on his word in that psalm, And when that happened, he saw, you know, true repentance and surrender. You know, it opens the door for the Lord to just come in. And
when we get out of the Lord's way, he already has a semi loaded with blessing for us. It's already left the dock and it wants to get into our dock, but we got to get out of the Lord's way. And that's what I've learned. I have to stop knuckling down, working harder, trying harder, depending upon myself. Give up on yourself. That doesn't mean you become a lazy person. That just means you give up on your means and methods and you depend solely upon the Lord. And now, I mean, think about this. Jesus, or the Lord, sent his only son that he would die and be crucified for us. So that is a heavy price to pay for, and I'm going to use the term, for the piece of real estate that we represent walking around on the face of this earth. That means we are so valuable to him as his kids that he will do anything for us. When we trust him, there's nothing he will withhold from us. He knows what's best. He knows how to mature us. He knows us how to bring us to the next level. And the goal is that we will be the light, the shining light walking around in this dark earth. And that we're undoubtedly, we may be coming into days where we actually have to be the bread, the fish, the you name it, that gets introduced to, you know, whole little sections of the population because they don't know the Lord. And so we may be called upon that. We may be going back to like those miraculous days that the Lord wants to use us. He wants us. He wants us as his, you know, his people, reaching more people. So
I just want to go back to the story for a minute.
Okay.
What I have watched over the years is the Lord, Jim, spend time every morning in the Lord's presence, in his word. And asking, you know, I don't know how much he asked, but he would say, he gave me this brilliant idea. You know, he gave me this, he gave me, I mean, you're preparing anyone, and I noticed this just praying, you know, you prepare yourself way before the time comes that you're going to need to respond. It's kind of like, you know, the Lord prepares you for what's ahead as you spend time with him. You don't even know that you're being prepared for that moment that you're going to need. And so you do have the answer when the answer is needed because you've been prepared in the presence and your time with the Lord. And so watching that, you know, happen over and over the years, I think has been like where when you said, you know, make it a like a real example, I think you said, can you give an example of how you got to this revelation? And it was totally a process of going through like, I can't, you can, so I'm going to let you. But in that, it's a place of being active in study and time with the Lord. So I think that's really it. Where, and you know, I watched him the other day. We were at jail, and we were ministering in the jail, and you know, I was telling the ladies, because we were, I don't know why I was telling them, I don't remember, but I was telling the ladies about how Jim has certain scriptures memorized. So when he came in, he always comes into my room when, you know, he's done in his room, he comes into mine. And I said, Jim, tell the ladies what scriptures that you say every day. And so I watched him just recite these without without even stopping to think, because they're so ingrained in him. See, I'm really a believer in, you know, what you put in, just as we could curse ourselves and do that kind of thing. We can also, you know, that one scripture, bless yourself.
Right.
And that is in Isaiah 65?
65, 16.
Yeah.
I mean, if you leave with nothing else, go to the Amplified and read and commit to memory Isaiah 65, verse 16. And I have, and it reads, so it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself shall do so in the land by saying, may the God of truth and fidelity bless me. And he shall swear by his promises, because the former things are hidden and hidden and forgotten. Let's see, the former things are forgotten and hidden from my eyes. So then I say, because I have to swear to the promises, and I will cause those who love me to inherit true riches, and I will fill their treasuries. And I say that all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's that when the word gets in you, it starts to manifest out of you, and it starts to manifest around you. And I am thankful for the Lord, for every opportunity he gives me, for everything he shows me. There's another scripture that I say in the morning, and it reads, in all labor there is profit. So I say that verse, and then I say, Lord, I thank you that today I'm going to profit in all my labor, with contacts, with people I'm going to meet, with new ideas, with new connections, with new collaborations, with new sales, with things that I haven't discovered, that in every aspect of my labor today, there's a profit.
And I think it's important that it's not only what you say, it's because you believe it.
Oh, yeah, I believe
it's
it.
It's not just, yeah, I'm declaring this because it's that. It's you've spent the time with him where you trust him, just right, like that first scripture that you got.
Right.
That one that you trust, you believe, you, that progression that,
right,
you talked about.
Right.
So I think that that's a real key to some of this.
Right. Well,
any other questions?
Does anybody have any questions? Things maybe we haven't addressed, or? So if not, I'd like to pray for you guys, and then we'll hook up next month. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your goodness and mercy. For just like in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Lord, I feel like goodness and mercy just is chasing us down. Lord, I thank you that you will now reveal yourself in a new and fresh way to everybody that is on this call, to everybody that's in the range of my voice, that they will be spoken to, that the Lord's touch, his goodness and mercy will come to each one of you in such a personal way that you will be blown away, that the Lord would care that much to reveal this much to you. And Lord, I pray that the eyes of their heart would be open to such a degree that they would, that the word would be their food, that they would depend upon the Holy Spirit so much, that they would be so comfortable in this conversation that everything they do all day, would they would be directed. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your son, Jesus. And I thank you that you haven't given up on me when you certainly had many chances to do so. And I thank you, Lord, for this now. In your son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Holly said she wants the notes to post with the video. So, or the scriptures will be both posted with the recording.
Okay, then
I don't know how that works.
All right, I'll send her the notes.
Yeah, she said she'll do that. So if they want to know that.
Okay, good. All right. Well, guys, bless you, and thanks for joining in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, thanks, guys. See ya.
Night.
Good night.